It is a concern. It's one of the reasons why when we sat down 2 months ago and we looked at the start of the new audit season, what had we accomplished? Because this isn't a, hey, we all get ready for when it happens once a year. We're constantly adding on to it, improving it. But when we stepped back and we looked at it, in spite of the work that we had done, there are areas where the intensity, where it didn't need it to be. Right? And it's one of the reasons why we asked Dan to step up into the role and basically synthesize across the organization. Because I think too often folks count on technical controls and other controls to do what they need to do. It's why we have such a strong education program. It's why we make sure we reinforce, because it's easy to not have to think about it. We recognize we need to do more. We recognize we need to synthesize across the policy side, across the information security operational side, across the day-to-day operational side on the IT folks, into the organizational side. And all of those have to work together. Now, Dan, if you want to talk
well,
to that.
Well, I guess the only thing I would just add to that is just that, you know, with such a large organization, with so many hospitals and clearly a focus on the veterans and delivering patient care and veterans benefits, doing it, all that securely, there's just always going to be this, you know, risk management trade-off, new technologies introduced, and, you know, they have to be looked at closely. We're always the folks on the security side who want to look at things from, okay, we want to add that new device, the new medical piece of equipment or the latest piece of IT applications that will reduce some efficiency. And so, you know, we tend to be a little bit more methodical on the security side, and it just ends up being somewhat thorough, and there's no quick way to go about through some of these security checks and balances. So I think we're still wrestling with some of that.
Steph, let me back up on one thing. You talked about the intensity. You mentioned that earlier. One of the things that you've mentioned, I think, back in November, December timeframe was you were adding something to the effect of $60 million to the cybersecurity budget for 2015 to deal with that. Is that part of that intensity piece?
It is. And in fact, one of the things that we did, because we wanted to make sure it wasn't a one-time thing, what the team put in place was a multi-year contract. Because what we're finding is, if you go in and you do it once and then you say, hey, life's done, things have moved on. Technology has moved on. More exploits have been found. More tools have been deployed. So the resources were taken and it was laid out as, I think it ended up as a 2, maybe 3-year effort. And a contract was laid out to support that. And we now have at least one contractor at every site, basically doing the backlog of patching, doing the backlog of work. Because what is forgotten at times is every day things are happening, and our IT workforce is there supporting the delivery of those services to veterans. Our challenge has been is the backlog of things that needed to be patched. So it's allowing them to continue, the day-to-day operational staff continuing to do their day-to-day job and doing the day-to-day hygiene to do with where they are today and bringing the vendors in, if you will, to take on the backlog. And so it's been this focus, bring the people in and have the folks in the day-to-day operational role doing the day-to-day operational stuff, because it's a conversation I have with my team is, number one, we are a production organization. As an IT organization, our focus is customer service, and that customer service is to make sure veterans are serviced. And so we need to make sure we do that. We do that in a secure way. But we also need to, and that's what the extra resources were for, was to come back and pick up the things that had not necessarily been done right in the past.
Give me a sense of what has happened since November, since the IG has been there, in terms of the progress VA has made around protecting, again, systems and data.
One of the things that we kicked off last year at the start of the audit season was because we wanted to make sure the CIO at the facility had visibility of their location and their capabilities, we actually generated for them a list of all of the systems and all the vulnerabilities they had at that location. And what we said was use this as your control device and annotate on it whether this was something, because you always run into false positive issues, but annotate what was real, annotate what was patched, when you patched, how you patched, or you got it off the system. So it was this manual process, and it's a methodology we put in place is start with process, implement it manually, iterate it, and then take it to automate it. This year, there's a tool called Nuke that the team has put together that's actually taken all of those different scans and pulled them together into a single view. And so the process that we started with, they've evolved it. Now they've moved it into an automated tool, which basically simplifies how it's done. And now they're going to iterate on that tool such that that CIO who has span of control can see what's there, understands where the high risks are, figure out what they need to be doing, have the contractor pick off the rest. And it's basically added positive control into how we do things. So I'd say that was a key one in terms of showing maturation. We're also hitting two other ways. The first one is looking at all the software we have in the VA and starting to pull software off the system, having conversations with the business and ask, why do we need 5 or 7 different pieces of software that does the same thing? Let's start collapsing it down, because the diversity of software and the extent of software you have increases your liability from a patching standpoint. So being able to sit down with the medical center director and say, hey, we have 3 or 5 or 7 different speech recognition pieces of software. The support staff is basically servicing all of those. Can we bring it down to 3? Can we bring it down to 2? Can we bring it down to 1? Reducing that reduces the complexity, reduces the workload. And so there's an active program taking place on that. Sitting down and looking at what happens at our boundaries and starting to turn off capability. We have gone through, and there are now sites we don't allow folks to go to. One of the biggest risks to individuals is going to a site, a website, that's characterized or that's uncharacterized, given the high volume of sites that turn on every day. Today at the VA, and we actually turned it on last fall, you can't go to an uncategorized site. And what we have found is it has knocked down the level of risk that comes at us. The other place the team has gone through, they actually do targeted scans of outward-facing systems. And basically, the security teams comes in, and they do penetration testing on an application. We run it through if something is found. Based upon whether it's mission support, can we put compensating controls on it and keep running it? Or do we actually need to take it offline, make the code changes, make the patch changes, and then bring it back online again? So, I mean, a very deliberate walk across the enterprise. It's bringing in third-party validators to look inside. I think we've talked about the Mandiant report coming in and looking at specific areas. And not only did they look at the domain controllers, they looked at all traffic crossing our boundary over a period of time to make sure they had full coverage. We also brought in another organization that did third-party validation to look at where things were. So, again, it's coming at this every day more than just running the checklist of what the audit says. There's a lot of operational things that we are doing, improving capabilities, adding tools, testing tools, variant tools, and then looking at the data to understand where do we need to put resources.
Dan, let me throw this at you. Since you're running the CRISP program, that's really, in many ways, the center of what's going on here. And talk about what you see as CRISP value today, and what will it be, you know, 3, 6, 9 months from now, meaning where is it heading?
CRISP, you know, the key word in there is continuous readiness, and it's going to be myself and a relatively small staff of people that are highly energized, and they're keeping the year-round focus specifically on cybersecurity. Everyone else has primary other duties. Security is a core responsibility of those primary duties. I'm going to be looking at security constantly. We're going to be going out to each of the sites, each of the hospitals, regional offices, and really giving them what are the key things we need to be measuring, what are the key things we need to be pulling out, and keeping that on their front burner all the time. So I see over the course of this year, this is not going to be where we have to ramp up, you know, as auditors start to come in. This is really a everyday activity for me and this group to ensure that really an ideal scenario would be an auditor or a third party can come into any location, any part of our systems, and we're fully ready, whether it's FSMA compliance or operational issues, day-to-day patching, weakness remediation. You know, my job is to make sure that this readiness is right at the top of the stack and really making clear what are the key things that we need to focus on in the priorities. And there's quite a few priorities of things you can work on in IT security. So we want to make sure we're tackling the highest priority issues, making sure security protections are in place for wherever veterans' data may be in our systems.
Now, Steph, is this what Dan just described? Is this a new effort, if you will, versus something that's been done all along?
It is a new effort, and it's one of the reasons why we called it out specifically and said Dan has this role and this responsibility, and we talk about it. The level of focus that we're bringing on this is, just to give you an example, and we step it up. So putting Dan on it, pulling a team of folks together, because it's important with all the other things that we're doing and trying to work through the risk balance of, it's not just, hey, do I do this single thing, right? How do I do this thing in conjunction with the policy piece, with the operational piece, with the delivery piece? And so getting that team together that's actually running things to ground, identifying where they're perturbations so we can take them on. But it's more than just Dan. One of the things that we have been doing is every Thursday, they've been sitting down and going through, where are we on the plan? And it's a leadership meeting, so it's the deputies. Where my deputies are sitting down, okay, what do you need resources on? Where do you need help on? We just finished another on-site this week with all of the senior execs, and they said, okay, we're doing that. We're getting into the decision-making, but we need to make sure there's more fidelity and what's happening on these different lines of attack. So now, every Tuesday afternoon, the full senior executive team will be sitting down and working through the plans of action that we're doing for each of the audit findings. Are we making the right progress? Is there data that we're seeing that we need to be making changes on? So it's continuing to improve the focus and intensity on what do we need to do to get the fundamentals in place, and then baking it into the organization.